Rob Shaker, portfolio manager at Shaker Financial Services, is here, and we're talking about how closed-end funds have been reacting to recent market volatility. Welcome to The Navigator. This is The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, the Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. And today, it is pointing us towards Rob Shaker. He's portfolio manager at Shaker Financial Services, shakerfinancial.com, the website to learn more about the firm and about him. He's been on The Navigator a number of times. Rob Shaker, it's great to chat with you again on The Navigator.
Yeah, it's good to talk with you again, friend.
Rob, the market, well, at the end of 2021, but also more importantly, perhaps through the first month of 2022, has been a lot more volatile, moved in directions people aren't used to, and that has had an impact in terms of what's going on with closed-end funds. So explain where you think we are and where we're headed from here, generally in terms of market pressures and what they're doing to the closed-end fund investment cycle.
Well, there are lots of sort of peculiarities about closed-end funds. One, I think, most particular is their reaction to overall general selling pressures in the market. This is one of the things that we study a lot over at Shaker Financial and strategies to deal with them. And it's sort of a structural situation. We call these generic widening, when selling pressures from the overall market spill into closed-end funds and creates widening across the board in both bond and equity funds. For the most part, we find that these come in sort of three general phases. And it's all sort of temporal in nature. They will sort of pass through. But the first one is excessive selling pressures come in and they cause widenings across the board. This is what we see when there's that real selling pressures and you have markets going down 1% or 2% a day, and you start to see, you know, the general media talking about concerns in the marketplace, corrections, these types of things that we saw in January.
We have to go through that. We're now through January. The next step becomes what?
The next step we're looking for after you sort of get that first one is the restoration of sort of equilibrium buying and selling pressures. Because while there is always some type of reason given and the media saying, oh, it's the rates are rising or people on the border of Ukraine, there's always one fundamental aspect to a correction or market selling. And that is there are more sellers than buyers. Right? And it sounds simple, but that's really what it becomes. When you have more sellers than buyers, typically markets go down. This is where I think you find the real interesting aspect of the closed-end fund difference here. How we like to explain it to people is, let's take the difference between what happens when you have excessive selling pressures in closed-end funds to that of mutual funds or ETF, right? Also, the sort of main diversified units people use to craft portfolios. When you have excessive selling pressures in a mutual fund or an ETF, you're basically sort of selling that back to the company. And what happens is it's a redemption, right? They have to sell it, but it's sort of a thing that just goes through the process. It's different in closed-end funds. Because of their fixed capital structure, there's a certain amount of shares, and that doesn't change. When you have excessive selling pressures in the closed-end fund space, you don't have redemptions. Instead, you have this dislocation in price vis-a-vis NAV movement. And the funds will widen and widen and widen until we reach that equilibrium and restoration.
So what you're saying right now is that we're at that time where people should be looking for better discounts, that the discounts have widened because we've got the selling pressure. We haven't restored equilibrium yet. We're going to take some market movement before that happens. So this is the time. And I know you and I have talked about it in the past. Discounts are what you are looking for. So is this the point where you're finding it easier to find a lot of buys right now?
Yes, particularly in the bond space. And one of the main hallmarks of these general widenings in closed-end fund land is the excessive widening in bond funds. I use the example when talking with clients all the time of what happens on that day the market goes down 4%, right? and you have the market going down 4%, people need to sell something in their account. They look at their account and say they have two closed-end funds. One is a equity fund that's down 3%, and one that's a bond fund that's down 1%. Well, in reality, the equity fund only down 3% against the market down 4% is the better sell. But just general nature and habit has people selling the bond fund, right? Even though its NAV is flat on the day, they'll push that bond fund down 2%, down 3%, creating just this sort of artificial widening. So when the smoke clears, you're looking for those that got pushed back down, right? Those babies that got thrown out with the bathwater, because they're sitting there at really attractive prices, and they will be the ones that bounce back more furiously once those selling pressures subside.
So we've got a chance right now to do some buying. And then how long does this cycle last? Because obviously, if you're restoring equilibrium, you get the buying opportunity, and then we'll see discounts narrow again. So buy now while the getting is good. But how long does it typically take until the getting isn't so good?
As a true economist, the correct answer to all questions is it depends. And you start there. And so how long does it take? Well, it really, you know, it depends. And so far, even though we sort of had this in mid-January, we actually had our first period of equilibrium, and we're able to come back a bunch of the way, especially in the bond fund. Even over the last 5 days, we've kind of gained back about half of it, right? And so regardless of when it bounces back, right, there is always ways to take advantage of it. You can sort of see it coming back, and if you track it, you'll see. But in general, you can tell just because if there's sort of equilibrium in the overall market, it sort of comes back and enters into closed-end fund space as well. But if you take the time to look and find the ones that were most affected and then sort of get into those, we try and do it. We call it double collecting on the way back. And if we can get into the ones that were most affected, once they recover back, and if we can rotate out of them and go to ones that haven't recovered yet, we're actually able to double collect on the recovery of a general widening. And that way, at the end of the day, even though you sort of took that little pain at the front, you wind up better in the long run.
For you, is there a sweet spot right now that you would tell people to be looking for, a level of discount that folks should be looking for in these conditions? You know, as we've seen that widening, you'll want to be in here?
In these types of situations, it generally goes to a fund-by-fund analysis. Overall, coming in, I'd say bond funds were basically on average trading around par, and equities maybe a little bit deeper in the sort of 4% to 5% discount range. But that being said, each fund is different in itself, right? And so really, if you're going to do the type of analysis, I'm going to try and get the discount capture and really take advantage of these situations, you do have to dive deep enough, at least, into the individual fund and its sort of historical discount to be able to really decide whether or not, has this one come all the way back? Are we sort of now flattish? In general, though, I would say that closed-end funds as a whole are at least a solid, firm level now, right? They're certainly not overvalued at this point.
I mean, you talked about wanting to be able to get in and maybe absorbing some pain, but how much wider could things get if the market muddles along or maybe goes a little worse before things turn around?
As sort of just a backdrop, the main thing with these is it's not about the market doing well or poor. It's more whether or not it gets that sort of extra boost of irrational selling pressures, right? There's an irrationality that's involved in any general widening. And so during periods in which the market sort of muddles around and just sort of declines here and there, you know, a negative year, the market has been so well for the past decade, it's kind of hard to remember that markets do go down in given years. But as long as it's an organized sort of decline, your closed-end fund shouldn't have this effect. So it's more you're sort of looking for those pressure points and just noticing when the pressure points happen. And if there's one thing I can say, and I'll say this over and over again, when there's those pressure points, when there's selling, when CNBC has a markets in turmoil special on, when you're hearing about people talking about the market just on the regular MSNBCs or Fox News station. That is not a time to sell your bond CEF. Chances are they're undervalued. That's the time in which, you know, you really want to look for good entry points, but certainly do not sell them just because they're down 2% on a down 4% day.
Rob, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for joining us. I look forward to talking with you again down the line.
You take care. Be safe.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. Yep, that's me. And you can learn all about my hour-long weekday podcast on your favorite podcast app or by going to moneylifeshow.com. To learn more about closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org. That's the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance, which is on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, Rob Shaker, portfolio manager at Shaker Financial Services. Go to shakerfinancial.com to learn more about him and the company. The Navigator podcast is new every Friday. Ensure that you don't miss anything by subscribing via your favorite app. And if you like us, please leave a review because they really do help. Until we're together again next week, happy investing, everybody.